Two summer blockbusters opened on Wednesday. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, earned $12.4 million on its opening day. Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde, grossed $9.1 million. People in the movie industry aren't the only ones talking about box office totals. Howie Mofshevitz of Colorado Public Radio reports.
Once upon a time, the box office figures were published only in the trade papers, The Hollywood Reporter and Variety, on Tuesdays. The Los Angeles Times picked up those figures and ran them on Wednesdays in a column that film critic Jack Matthews took over in 1985.
And one of our editors said, why do we have to be in Wednesday with this thing? Why can't we get it in Tuesdays? Well, there was no way for us to get it in on Tuesdays. You know, Variety and The Reporter had, you know, access to the numbers. They had all these sources at the studios. And so I made a deal with a man named John Creer of a company called Exhibitor Relations, which monitors box office trends and so forth for exhibitors around the country. I asked John if he could round up these figures for us, independent from the trades, on Monday morning so that we could get it in the paper on Tuesday.
And that's the way it stayed for about 5 years, until March 1990. Joseph McBride, then the Variety writer in charge of box office reporting, noticed a long line outside a theater showing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He called the man who pioneered box office reporting for Variety, the late Arthur Murphy, to ask him what he thought the film would bring in. Murphy estimated the film would have a $25 million weekend. McBride reported that estimate in the Monday Variety, and a trend was born. Here's what they did. Rather than waiting for the final box office figures on Sunday night, they used the numbers from Friday and Saturday and came up with a formula to estimate the Sunday grosses. Essentially, that's how it's done today. McBride says he wanted to get the numbers out early to, in his words, keep the studios honest.
There's a lot of lying that goes on and padding of figures, and the press is often too gullible. One of the reasons I thought it was good to report estimates on Sunday was to get the jump on the studios and get in ahead of their Monday figures before they had a chance to pad them and lie about them.
The studios soon realized that they could use even the accurate figures to their advantage to help promote their movies. But why have the numbers become popular with general readers? Joe Rosenfoss, entertainment editor of the Rocky Mountain News in Denver, has a theory.
Why do we run baseball statistics? Why do we run stocks? People want information to make decisions. You look at the stock tables to make decisions about a stock. You might look at the movies and how much money they're making and decide, Lord of the Rings made $4 trillion last weekend. It's going to be really crowded on the second weekend. I'm going to go see this big fat Greek wedding. It only made $1 million. It's probably not going to be around long, which tells you also that the numbers can't always be believed.
The box office figures also appear every Monday on Morning Edition. Former NPR correspondent Andy Bowers, who began the practice, says the numbers are news because the movie industry forms a significant part of the California and national economies.
So we decided to start looking at these box office figures from a business point of view, and I made an effort to try to mention which studios were producing which movies so that people who were following such things could judge how studios were doing on their weekly box office releases.
But some say the pro forma reporting of box office grosses by NPR and other news organizations has turned movies into sporting events because they focus on winners and losers rather than the actual content of a film. Canadian director David Cronenberg has made films for both art houses and multiplexes. They include Scanners, The Fly, and the recent Spider. Cronenberg says box office figures can keep people from seeing a movie for itself.
I think Heaven's Gate was the turning point, actually, because I remember riding in a taxi cab, and the cab driver started to go on this rant about how Michael Cimino had dressed 1,000 extras and hadn't used them, and Heaven's Gate had gone over budget, and he was talking about stuff that normal people never talk about, even though I'm sure he had just read it in the newspaper that morning. And I thought, well, this is the beginning of the end. This is like the reviewing of the budget and the reviewing of the grosses. And that is sort of how it developed. People were suddenly very, very conscious of how much a movie costs, to the point where you get people, just normal people, not just critics, saying, well, you know, for $50 million, it's not much. In other words, they're factoring in the budget of the movie in their assessment of whether it was good or not.
The box office grosses can also influence how studios distribute and promote their movies, says critic Jack Matthews, who's now at the New York Daily News.
For instance, if they don't think this movie is going to rank number one if they put it in 3,000 theaters, if it doesn't rank number one, it was seen as a negative and might hurt the film. So rather than put it in 3,000 theaters and take that chance, they put it in 100 theaters or 200 theaters or whatever. And if it makes the top 10, it's a coup. This movie made the top 10 with just 200 theaters. And then they can start adding. And so they start off on a forward momentum rather than taking a chance on a negative.
The pressure on first weekend grosses can also affect what films are actually produced, says Joseph McBride, who now teaches at San Francisco State University.
For example, Pearl Harbor, Disney spent $5 million for the junket to bring the press to Pearl Harbor to see the film on an aircraft carrier. And you could make several good little independent films for $5 million. But that's the kind of money that's spent. And there's a concern among the studios with how will the film do the first weekend, because they get bragging rights and the public is impressed that the film opened with a $90 million opening. And that creates a kind of herd effect where the public is stampeded into going to see the film because everybody in the country is going to see it, rather than seeking out the little films that are worthy of attention. So that's really the problem. It's this kind of unhealthy obsession we have with money and size in America.
Terminator 3 cost nearly $170 million to make. At $5 million per film, that means 34 smaller films could have been made. For NPR News, I'm Howie Mofsovitz.